accession number 28896, reel 23.
Mr. Blewett, reel 23. What date or time of year did you move to the tanks?
Well, it would be, as far as I remember, about early 1944. But in the meantime, there's four of us, as I said, would volunteer, you, like business. So we thought, well, that's all right. There's four of us on a tank. One can be the gunner, one the driver, one the gunner, and the operator, and the tank commander. But it didn't work like that. We went to this Como, their Como, and before that, we'd... Clarkson was still away. He hadn't finished his leave, but he didn't come back at the time when we started moving. And so the Cyril Saunders' friend, Frankie Winder, and myself were sent on this wireless operator course with the signals. And we were with them for about a month doing this course.
Can you tell me what they were teaching you?
Wireless procedure, the right way to be going on, how to answer and send messages on these sets, which I really enjoyed. And showing it how to, if anything went wrong, how to try and diagnose the trouble and that.
What kind of sets were they? Did they have a name?
I can't remember. It was 45, I'm not sure. But there again, these were only in the back of a 1,500-word truck. I think it was a 45 when we got on the tanks. But anyway, we used to go out with these trucks, different ones, all around the area, and transmit to each other. And
you would have call signs, presumably.
Yes.
Coded names.
Able one, you know, receiving my signals, strength five or whatever it was. And they used to have different names for the OC and the tank commander. Just can't think of them at the moment. But everybody had to be able to drive these tanks. You know, anybody on the ducks had to, you know, if anybody got hurt or anything, wounded, the other one had to take over the driving.
Every member of the crew
had to be able to drive, which was all right because we were all drivers on the ducks. The only slip-up was... when we finished the course, and we had also had to learn a bit of semaphore as well from the Navy lads, which we hardly ever used, fortunately, because it used to be far too fast for us. We used to be waving your hand slowly with the flag. Anyway, when we were on the lake, practicing the landings, and they come in, and there was this Navy, and we were all watching them. You said, "What are they doing?" And we were in the lead tank, as it happened, and this. Then the penny dropped. Oh, he's telling us to come in, two abreast, instead of coming single file, two up. So they, waving up, you know, reckon. But what happened was, you see, when the course finished, just by pure coincidence, I come out top of my class. And I didn't think it was anything spectacular about it because I got lost once or twice and had to go and ask for advice. But anyway, I think the signals were getting a bit sick of and they wanted us. So anyway, I come out top of my class. The Geordie lad was top driver. Another one, a London lad, was top gunner. And so what happened was, instead of us getting together on the dock, this officer come along and just said, "Oh well, I'm tank commander on here. You were the top wireless operator. You were the top gunner." So he was going to be, and he was a waste of space.
You remember his name?
Yes. Never forget it, Captain Davis. He was old for a job like that. As far as I understand, he come from a bulk petrol depot. He may have volunteered. I might be doing him an injustice. He may have volunteered, I don't know. But he was very conspicuous by his absence when he was required. And this lad from Newcastle, the driver, he stuttered a bit, and when we were putting the tanks onto transporters to go anywhere, it was quite a difficult job. One of us, generally me, had to stand on the cab of the transporter and doing this work for the driver to come on, because the width of them, there was only about half a track on the actual server. Anyway, we used to get on, but and then you used to have to cover them up with camouflage nets, because at that time we were supposed to be a secret, you know, maybe everybody knew about it, but they were supposed to be secret. So when, instead of just tootling up, we had to camouflage everything. And they were very heavy, these nets. And it was a four-man job, really. And of course, his offer was never there. He was always supervising something. And this lad, this driver, Wilf, he used to stutter a bit. And they used to call him all the names under the sun. "Where the hell is he? He's never here when he bloody wanted." And he used to chunter on a bit. Anyway, of course, when we sort of got settled in, he had to muck in the officer. We had to sleep on the tanks, or under the tanks, or whichever you preferred, or whichever, you know, suited you. And we had to feed ourselves, of course. And the thing was with this, the gunner, he was from London. This officer was round London way, put it that way, south. And me and the lad, we were Geordies. Even now, Darlington, he was a Geordie. We were Geordies. So when we used to start getting the rations out, doing our little... this officer just happened to say, the rations that we used to get, they were quite good. They were tin, but they were good. And the bacon was very good. It was like a rolled bacon inside. It was a bit fatty, but it was quite tasty. And this officer wasn't doing it this time. And this officer said, I don't mind a bit of fat. And Wilf looked at me. He was getting all the fatty bacon. We were cutting the slices and bits off. Anyway, it was. But this lad, Wilf, wouldn't entertain him at all. He didn't like him. And of course, so it fell to this the gunner, Ted Walker, fell to him to look after. Well, he wasn't. He didn't have to look after him. He was supposed to look after yourself on it when a four-man tank. But he used to be giving him tea, sir, or whatever. So we thought about this afterwards. But anyway, at the time, it was not so bad.
Can you describe the Buffalo tank? What make of tank was it? Describe this vehicle, Buffalo.
Well, it would be about 16 to 18 foot long, I would think. Quite wide. It was wide enough to get a Jeep in. But mostly it was for personnel. There was at the sharp end, as we say, it was where it was armoured. About half inch thick armoured plate, and it sloped down. The driver and the wireless operator gunner were at the front, and they had the perspex sights for the driver and the gunner to look out of. It was open at the back for the gunner. There was a big can't think what the name of the gunner was. Quite a big gun, a machine gun, and that was in. It was in the open, as was the tank commander. You connected up with ear sets and intercom, but the outside itself was really the same as the duck, just tin plate. I remember the first time we went into action, more or less, was the we took the I think it was the 45th Marine Commando, and the troop gone, be about 20 of them, up the ramp and got on, and they were saying, "Oh, these are all right, you know, champion, be all right here." And I said, I wouldn't bank on it. I said, "Where you are?" I said, "It's only like corned beef tins round the side," because, it, like you say, it was buoyant to go on water, and although it had the tracks on, they weren't. It was just a means to get them over the water, the rivers, or where the rice fields were, and it proved that the first. We were going up this spit of land, and we had what, five tanks. There was a sergeant was given the first one, four tanks. The sergeant was given the first one. Our officer, he was in charge of another two, and then there was another one at the back of that. So the sergeant had gone up first, and as he was just more or less setting off, there was the German pillboxes on the left-hand side. We were going up like this little spit of land.
Was this your first action with
these tanks?
And was it still in the Lake Como area?
We'd moved the Lake Como. We'd done the practicing with, but we moved up onto the other side, Lake Camacho. We were supposed to be going over, and when we were going up this bit of land, and this pillbox opened up on them. This was the sergeant's. We were still a little way back. And then the mortar bombs come over, and one got a direct hit in the back of this Buffalo. About 20 commandos, and I think they nearly all suffered some slight wounds. The sergeant, as he was out in the open, he was hit in the arm and the leg. And the gunner, he was killed. The two in the front there were not so bad, because they were covered. So that was the first incident that happened, and I thought this the driver he got out, through his little seat at the top, you could get out that way. And he come down to where we were, and he was absolutely shaken with fright that I didn't play him. And he said, "Oh, poor so-and-so, he's got it." And I said to him, "What about Kenny?" That was the sergeant. He said, "Oh, he's wounded." He said, "Oh, nearly everybody in the back here is dead and wounded and all that," which was exaggerating as it happened. It was mostly the wounded, but they weren't dead. So then he was wondering what to do. And I said, "If I get away back down to the base bit." So because our officer wasn't saying anything to him. So we started moving up. And we, like I say, we had these 45th Marine Commandos in the back. And we were going up. And as we were going up, our gunner and the one behind him, they give the pillboxes the real all shaking up, you know, they're really banging at them. Plus there was two or three commandos that had got over and lobbing grenades in as well. So we got past them, got up to a place where we were supposed to be crossing the bit of a river, and to get drop the commandos off. And we got stuck on the side. We couldn't get on. He couldn't get out the river. It was that muddy, you know, and these were making no impression at all getting on. So this commando officer in the back, he said, "Just stop there." And he said, instead of getting out the back, they got over the top. He said, "Just give us covering fire." So as soon as they got down, me and the gunner, he was just banging away in front while they got away. And so he said, "Well, this officer, right, come back into the river. We're going back for some more. Come back into the river, turn around, go down." Gets back outside, went over, back out. Anyway, when we went back, there was this lieutenant commando officer and his batman, and he had a snow, I think a weasel they call them, it's a little tank. I think they call them a weasel. And so we went back, took him across, and we managed to get out this time. And while we were, and of course the first load of commandos, they were away across the, where we were, when we were firing, we could see where our bullets were going, and you could see Germans and whatnot, they were in the distance, sort of getting up and running and jumping down trenches and whatnot. Anyway, that first batch got off. So when we come back and we got this officer off with the with his weasel, and I just sort of, it was pretty quiet. So I opened the perspex thing and there was like a spring, the seat got up and you could sit more or less just looking out.
Lifted the seat up.
Lift the seat up, yeah. And the driver, Wilf, he said, "I wouldn't get up there if I was you." And he'd hardly got the words out of his mouth, and this machine gun, bang, 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 and I couldn't hear it along the side of the buffalo. Down again, I was down in, and we swiveled round to where he'd been, this was coming from, and we fired, but we couldn't see anything. We're just keeping our heads down. Well, and this officer said, "Come back into the water." He said, "We can't unload his little weasel here. Not under this." So, because it was all supposed to have been cleared. Back into the water. And we went back maybe about a quarter of a mile down the stream. Then got back out. Got outside. Let the ramp down and let him get out with his little... I call them weasel. I think it was a little tractor thing.
Was this a first major attack you'd been in?
Yeah.
And it was quite a big attack. Obviously, there would be many other vehicles involved and so forth.
Well, there were ours. It's funny because we seem to go in at different places over this bit of river. And then we come back. By this time was nightfall. That would have been early morning, and everything had seemed to quieten down. So we got in the back of the duck with our camouflage net and just got our heads down. But until there was a rumour going round, come round and keep your eyes open. There's supposed to be Jerry's and God knows what in, like, dugouts, the trenches and whatnot, round where we'd got in. So we had to keep it working. And just as it happened, there was nothing happened. There was one or two prisoners got brought in. Then we found they weren't Germans. They were Mongolians being drafted in by the Germans.
And you slept on your buffaloes,
yeah.
It was the buffaloes that you're sleeping on.
Yeah, we were just on our camouflage nets. That's about the only thing that were good for sleeping on.
How fast were they in?
Oh, not very fast. Well, about the same as the duck when you were trundling along in the water. In fact, I don't think they were as fast as the duck. Then when we eventually got over there, and we found like we were in rice fields, and we were just kept on going, and the officer was fire at that air stack and things in front of you and whatnot. And there was one or two Italians, like from farms and whatnot, they seemed to just bring up, and they're coming out, oh, Inglese, and getting the big hand and all that from them. And there was also one or two shooting at you from the farmhouses, as we found out. We didn't know at the time, but they were shooting at you. There was one or two bullet holes in the back of the ramp. So we just kept on going. We lost one. It was going across the... No, I'm telling lies. We thought we'd lost one, but it come to light a bit later on. More or less when we got, and that all and the commandos had achieved their objectives and whatnot. That was more or less our lot done. So they said backwards and forwards. Then found out our main company, where they were. Well, that was another cock-up. We had the call signs, with all these, to start off with, these the signals lot had all netted in. They didn't trust us. They'd netted in on the call sign and sort of locked the sets. And we were given a list of call signs. And when we were using them, we found out they were a day too late. And so we... The signals that we'd been given, the call signs, we found that they'd been... Whether it was our incompetence... We starting off in the early morning, and then when we had to start using them, I think we were a day behind, and or a day in front, whichever. But anyway, it didn't work out. Eventually, the started getting back into contact. But this this officer, our main officer, a major. I think it was Kelly. We used to call him the Mad Major because he used to go. He was quite good, But it was a bit gung-ho, if you know what I mean. Like, it was... And there was... Eventually, we managed to get in touch. And we're going across these flooded rice fields. And we dropped our load of blokes off. And then we had to bring the wounded, some wounded back, and to get them, we were come under fire with these Tiger tanks. Well, if it wasn't the Tiger tanks, it was the 88s that were firing. And fortunately, they were diverted elsewhere. So when we got back to with the wounded, our tanks started acting up a bit, and the officer just decided, well, we'll wait here for a bit. So
was this mechanical problems that were these mechanical problems you were having with them?
Well, it was like I say, the first time we'd been, but it was nothing. It wasn't the tracks. It was mechanical, and Wolf, he didn't seem too happy about it. He said, oh, well, we'll just have to get this sorted. So we pulled up, and by this time, the other tanks had come back as well. So we were more or less stuck waiting for orders, and there was nothing to go back with apart from picking wounded up.
What state were they in? What state were the wounded in?
Well, again, to be honest... we were moving in, and it was the gunner that was letting the ramp down, and other people that were bringing them on, and they were laying them down. They got to be about six stretcher cases, I would think, in the back. And they were moaning and groaning, but because when we were moving around with the tanks, it was banging about, and so it wasn't the best of journeys for them. But they seemed quite happy to be out of it. When we come back, then we got a message from the OC to do certain directions, and then we found up we were up with the rest of the company. Our little six had been doing this job. So many more were doing taking commandos and whatnot in like a motorboat craft, and they had a bit more experience, I think, than what we had.